Earth, sky.
All of us are musical experts, even though we don't realize it. I mean, we can't all sing like Ella Fitzgerald or play the piano like Artur Rubinstein, but all of us are expert in knowing what kind of music we like and how it affects us. And we see this, in fact, in the way people incorporate music into their lives. A lot of people use a certain kind of music to get going in the morning, to get out of bed, to get them through an exercise workout, to calm themselves down at the end of the day. We're using music in the same way we use drugs, really, for emotional regulation.
You're listening to Daniel Levitin, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Levitin is professor of psychology and music at McGill University in Montreal, Canada. Dr. Levitin spoke about his most recent book, The World in Six Songs, with Earth Sky's Hilary Anderson.
You're the author of the book, The World in Six Songs. Tell us about the six songs you write about. What do they have in common, and how are they different?
The six songs, in quotes, are actually six kinds of songs, six ways that we use music to communicate our thoughts, beliefs, hopes, and desires. We also use music for motivation and emotional regulation. The six categories are friendship, comfort, joy, knowledge, religion, and love. And what they have in common is that we now have scientific evidence that each invokes a distinct neural system.
So how does music change the human brain, and how do you know that?
Well, music activates neurons in more regions of the brain than almost anything else that we know of. This causes neural firing patterns to change and the release of neurochemicals. For example, listening to music you like causes a release of dopamine, the so-called feel-good hormone, and on the opposite side, listening to music you hate will activate the amygdala, the brain's fight or flight center, and that'll cause a release of adrenaline. I'll give you an example. One of the things that we do with music is we encapsulate knowledge. For tens of thousands of years before we had written language, before our ancestors knew how to write things down, they still had to remember things, important things like which plants were poisonous or where to find a source of water if the well ran dry. And they tended to encode this kind of information in song, because our early ancestors realized it was easier to keep track of information when it was set to melody. And so that's one way in which music changes the brain. It causes patterns of learning and knowledge.
So does that mean that the physical structure of our brains evolved in a certain way because of music? If so, how do you know that as well?
It does mean that. We know that the brain is musical because there are specific neural circuits, and by that I mean specific regions of the brain, dedicated to processing music and nothing else. Our brain structure changes every time we learn something new. That's, in fact, the very definition of learning to a neuroscientist, changes in the brain as a result of environmental input. So learning to tie your shoes or learning Einstein's equations both cause changes in the brain. Now, let's turn the clock back to our ancient ancestors. Suppose one of them had a brain that was more easily able to respond to something important in the environment. The ability to find new sources of food, for example, or to build trust among a large group of friends. That attribute would likely be passed on through natural selection, through evolution. So those of our ancestors who were able to use music to preserve information or communicate emotionally may have been at a significant advantage, and that would have been passed down to their descendants.
So what is the musical brain, and how, as you write, does it influence human nature?
Well, I think that humans are a musical species. I think through tens of thousands of years of evolution, our brains co-evolved with music and created these special circuits for processing music. I think when I talk about the musical brain, I talk about that part of our evolutionary history that selected for music as a way to communicate with each other.
So why do you think music is an integral part of human life then?
I think that for many of us, music is an alternative way of communicating. There are things that music can do for us that language can't. So I know, for example, if you're feeling really uptight or stressed, you've had a bad day, you had a fight with somebody, words sometimes aren't as soothing as the right piece of music. As another example, you know, look at love songs. I think the reason they exist is that they're able to communicate in an emotional way that words alone just can't.
So just one final question for you, and that's, what's the most important thing you want our audience to know about how music affects the brain and your recent book, The World in Six Songs?
I think the big message that I'd like to convey is that all of us are musical experts, even though we don't realize it. I mean, we can't all sing like Ella Fitzgerald or play the piano like Artur Rubinstein, but all of us are expert in knowing what kind of music we like and how it affects us. And we see this, in fact, in the way people incorporate music into their lives. A lot of people use a certain kind of music to get going in the morning, to get out of bed, to get them through an exercise workout, to calm themselves down at the end of the day. We're using music in the same way we use drugs, really, for emotional regulation. And I think that that's an important part of our life and has been all the way back to our ancestors. If you look at hunter-gatherer societies, music is really woven into the fabric of everyday life and everyday activity, partly because of the way it can modulate our neurochemistry, affecting our moods.
You've been listening to Daniel Levitin, professor of psychology and music at McGill University and author of The World in Six Songs. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.